Welcome to the October 3rd, 2010, 11 o'clock worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, God's Plan for Meeting Needs. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
We look forward to that. Other things you'll find listed there in your bulletin, opportunities for the week, also upcoming events. So we hope that you take note of all of those. We want to say a special welcome to our guests. Just a few moments ago, you gave us your information on the pupat. We appreciate you doing that. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles. They would like to give something to you. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. The ushers will recognize you, and you'll get some information about our church. Inside the packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor, as well as a little bit of the story of College Park and a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. So we're especially thankful for your presence this day, and we pray that God would speak to you in a very, very powerful way. He is here, ready to do mighty and amazing things if we would listen and if we would let him take control. Let us prepare for worship. Will you pray with me? Our Father, how good it is to know that your presence is in this place. How often do we come to worship and take that for granted? That this is just not a room full of people with struggles and difficulties and stories to tell, but this is a place full of your presence. Let your people and your presence come together, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, Son of God.
invite all the kids. Come on down. I'll take a seat. Y'all sit right here. Come, we're going to do it right here. Come on down. All right. We'll wait till everybody gets down here. Come on down. Come on down. How's everybody this morning? Good. Glad to see y'all this morning. Now, I have a question. How many know what this is? Okay, how many? Now, everybody's got to stay where they're at. All right, everybody stay where you are. How many know what that is? No, that's just a stick. All right, it's just a stick when it's on the ground. But what happens when I pick it up? It's a baseball bat. So, but wait a minute. What's the difference between this and when I lay it on the ground? What's the difference? Now, can I hit? What do you think, Tyler? Not in motion. I can't hit a baseball with it, can I? Why? What happens? How do I know that I can try to hit a baseball with it? But I couldn't hit it. It would just hit the bat. I'm not even touching it. So would I get the hit? So what do I have to do if I want to hit with the bat? What do I have to do? So I have to pick it up and swing it. Well, I missed a lot when I was little, when I was your age. But I probably could hit somebody with this. Now, does it make you nervous if I start swinging like this? Oh, it's a toy. It's what? Sam just winced. Now, here's the thing. But it's kind of like when you come to Sunday school, do you learn stuff? You do. You learn. What did you learn this morning? Did you learn something this morning? What'd you learn? About integrity. That is a big word. That's a big word. That's impressive. We learn things. But what happens? But here's the big question. But what if we go home and we don't live out what we learned at church? It's just like this bat. It means nothing. You have to pick it up and swing to hit that baseball. It's the same thing. The things that you learn at church, you need to take it home and put it into motion. That's what Pastor Raymond is going to talk about today. I want you to listen really carefully today to what he's going to talk about. God wants you and me to take what we've learned and put it into action. At school, at church, at home, everywhere. Let's pray together. God, we love you and we thank you that you are in this place, that you have given us such wonderful teachers that have taught us things here at church. Help us to take it home, to be your hands and your feet, to go home and to go to our schools and to love people with the lessons that we learn on Sunday, to make sure we do that every other day of the week. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go back to your seats now.
Let's continue our time of prayer as we share together. Dear Lord, what a blessing to be in your house on this beautiful morning, on the first day of a new week. Lord, as we sit here this morning, in many ways we're tired, we're weary. In many ways, for many of us, the week that just passed may seem a little bit like a blur. It may not have been exactly what we wanted. We may not have felt as good as we wanted. Things may not have developed the way we wanted them to work out this week. There may have been some disappointments in our personal lives, in our work lives, in our family lives. But as we sit here this morning in your house, we survived this past week. We survived this past week because you carried us no matter what was going on. You were present with us through our ups and our downs, through our worries, through our struggles, through our pains. You did not forget about us this week. We did survive. Our lives were blessed because of your presence and because of that promise. As we sit here in your house in worship this morning, we have hope. We have expectation of this new week. Certainly things are on our minds, and you know them, Lord. You have searched our minds. You know our hearts. You know our fears, our concerns, our struggles, our infirmities. But none of those things amount to anything compared to you, compared to your presence and your promise for us and our lives. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit that supports us and lifts us up even when we are low. For the promise of your love and your guidance and your presence with us that serves as a focal point and a guiding star even when we've lost our way. Lord, this week and today, this morning, my prayer for us this week is that we know that you are going to bless us this week by your presence. Lord, help us to have the wisdom and the strength to return that favor to you and give you our presence of mind and our intentionality to not just take your presence and leave it at that, but to return it and have relationship with you, communion with you this week so that we may be strengthened, that you would take the things that are on us, we would be able to lift them, give them to you, and you would strengthen us in that way. That you would be able to lead and guide us and help us to be the people that you created us to be. This past week, we may have left our bat on the ground, but Lord, help us to pick it up this week, to use the time, the talents, the treasures that you have given us, the abilities to serve you, and to put them into action, to strengthen ourselves in our relationship with you, and also to strengthen and bless others in your name. Lord, guide us this week. Thank you for your promise. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for what you do in our lives. Help us to reach back to you this week and give of ourselves that we may do good things in your name, that we may grow closer to you, and that our lives may be enriched when we take hold of that promise with all that we have and then with all that we can give. Lord, thank you for being with us. Thank you for blessing us with the opportunity to be here, for blessing us last week and blessing us this morning. Continue, Lord, to be faithful to us as you always are, and help us to be faithful in our service to you. It is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for all your blessings. Jesus, we thank you for dying for our sins. Thank you for our church and our church staff. Teach us to accept others as they are and to show them the way to you. Now bless this offering and this service. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
This is the last week in our four-week series entitled No Perfect People Allowed, and I want to just kind of back up, give us a little review, see where we have come from, and hopefully a little bit of glimpse of where we're going. The first week that we were in this series, we talked about the fact that we needed to create a come-as-you-are type culture, where people, anybody that came into this congregation would feel like they were accepted as is, and we're acknowledging, of course, that that's how God accepts us. So if God accepts us as is, then we should accept others as is. And it's through Jesus' sacrifice, it's through grace that we're able to do that. The second week, we talked about the fact that we're created for community. Community with one another, as well as community with God. And as a part of being a community with one another, we need to be real. We need to be real with one another, share our struggles, our doubts, all of those things that we're worried about and struggling with so that we can walk together and we can grow together. And then the next week, which was last week, we took that grow and carried it on out a little bit. The idea being that God accepts us as is. We accept one another as is, but we don't stay there. You know, the expectation is that God wants us to grow. And it's an intentional thing. It's something that we need to strive to do. We need to work at growing so that we don't remain baby Christians all of our life. And so as we go into today's topic, which is God's plans for meeting needs, we do so understanding that, you know, the first 3 weeks we've been focusing on what we need to do in order to grow. I mean, that's kind of a overstatement of the obvious. But we also need to understand that it's not all about us. You know, that may come as shock to some, especially some of our teenagers. You know, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You know, it's not all about us. You know, God cares about the people that you live with, the people that you work with, the people that you run into on the street. I mean, God cares about all of us. We have spiritual needs, we have physical needs, and He cares about that. Jesus gave us a pretty good example. If you read Scripture and see how Jesus interacted with people, it really, I mean, it'll convict you.
Let me give you one passage of scripture. It kind of setting up the scene. He's going through the neighborhoods of the villages by the Sea of Galilee. And in Matthew chapter 9, it says this, when he being Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So when Jesus looked at his neighborhood, he saw beneath the surface. He saw deep into people's lives. He saw the pain and the confusion. He saw the disease. He saw the trouble. He saw the heartache. He saw the sadness. He saw the chains of brokenness and addiction that kept people slaves. He saw people wandering. He saw them in danger. Sheep without a shepherd, needing the God who wants to guide and provide for them. That's what he saw. And it says when he saw that, he had compassion. Let me give you a literal translation of that phrase. He was moved in his gut. That's what it means. It's something so deep and so personal. To have compassion is to be moved in your gut to do something about it. And Jesus did. He healed. He fed. He taught people how to live lives that were free of all the chains that bind us. In short, he taught people how to live in God's kingdom, where God's will and where God's ways are operative in our life. You know, I see his example, and I think I really should do better. But I'll be honest with you, in moments of weakness, I see people that really irritate me. I don't know if you've ever had one cut you off in traffic for just a moment. It's really irritating. I don't know if you've had people cut in front of you in a line at the grocery store, or they're in line and they've got 38 items in a line that says 10 items or less. Those people irritate me. And in those moments, I wish the greatest commandments that Jesus said were to love God and to love your dog, because your dog will treat you much nicer than people will. But that's not what he said. He says, you love God, and then you love people as yourself. And gang, sometimes that's hard. That's hard. And it's particularly hard if we're not seeing them with God's eyes. You know, we interact with people every day, people that can irritate us, and we need to see below the surface. We need to get beyond the pretense that says, I've got it all together. You know, what we might see if we saw with Jesus' eyes. Here's some of the things we'd see. Statistically speaking, we know that we would see nearly one out of every two people spend more money than they earn. Personal debt is growing like a well-fed St. Bernard. People are racking up debt burdens and financial struggles that just feel like a ton of bricks on their back. We would see that one out of two marriages are failing. And that leaves heartache, that leaves struggle, it leaves pain for both the adults and the children. We see two out of five people under the age of 40 who are chained to some sort of addictive substance. They're literally chained up. They're struggling to get free, but they feel hopeless. They feel helpless. We would see one out of four women get sexually abused before the age of 18 and then struggle with all kinds of coping mechanisms that may leave them isolated, alone. We would see one out of four people who will have an STD by the age 40, yet will keep on being sexually active because that's what everybody's doing. We would see one out of three women who've gotten pregnant and had an abortion, for many compounding the suffering and the residual questions and remorse. We would see one out of two men and one out of three women who at some point in their life will have some form of cancer. And we would see one out of four people who, if they were really honest, would say they have no good friends. So they have no one. No one to share with. No one that cares about them. And you see, but what that means is just about everybody that you lock eyes with during the course of your day, just about everybody is either struggling with something or is soon to be struggling with something. And who sees? Who cares? Who sees with Jesus' eyes? Who sees beneath the surface to see these things? Because it's a very broken, messed up world beneath the surface. And that's what Jesus sees. That is what moves him in his gut to do something about it. That is what moves him with compassion. The scripture claimed that God came near. He entered into our suffering in the form of a Messiah. And he demonstrated his compassion to a world in need. He took on a human body. He stepped into the messiness of our world. And when he was here on earth, he did something about it. He said, God's kingdom is near. And when God's will and God's ways come near, people are cared for. They're clothed. They're fed. They're healed. You see, God still has a plan. He still has compassion. And he still has a body here on earth. But the body is us. You know, people have always been part of God's plan to meet needs. God's plan is to meet needs through us. You know, and that's a God-sized dream. But that's why we need God. That's why we need one another. Romans 12 gives a picture of what that plan looks like. Romans 12 verses 4 through 6 says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. See, God wants us to represent Him. He wants to be represented through you and through me, through one body, through all of our diverse gifts, our abilities, our passions, our stories. And God is creating something new, a new family, a unified community, a body to work through to reverse the isolation, the alienation, and the effects of a world gone astray. He wants us to be the body. And God dreams of a responsive, connective community that He can live in and through to tangibly show the world what He's like. In Ephesians 4, we will hold to the truth in love, becoming more and more in every way like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. And under His direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. As each body part does its own special work, it helps the others to grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That's what God wants. Christ is the head, and the sign of our maturity is that together as one unified body through His Spirit, we do what Christ would do, demonstrating His love to the world, so others can see Christ through us. But it only happens if we're willing. If we're willing to make the step. You know, it starts with a simple prayer, maybe something like this. God, I want to see with Your eyes. I want to see people with Your eyes. Because every day You interact with people who have spiritual, physical needs. God wants to meet those needs, but we pass right by because we don't see with God's eyes. You know? We may not see below the surface. We may not want to see below the surface. But if you'll pray for God to give you His eyes, He will begin to do that. It's a process. Learning to see others through God's eyes. You know, we hear these sociologists tell us that each of us has 4 to 8 people that we interact with on a regular basis, somewhere between 4 and 8. And a lot of these people have spiritual, physical needs. A lot of them may not even believe there is a God. Some may be skeptic. Some may have been burnt by community, by church somewhere, to the point where they're just turned off to God, thinking that, you know, God possibly can't care about me because the people who said they were Christians hurt me. Pray for those people. Begin praying now that God will use you to reach them. And while you're praying for them, understand, God may do something unusual. He may send other people that you don't know into your path. And when that happens, don't let it scare you. That's God preparing your heart. That's God working through you. Don't let it scare you. Understand, it's not you. It's not about you. It's not on your strength that He's dependent. We're dependent on His strength, the Holy Spirit. So just go ahead, when you have those opportunities, go ahead and wade on in. Go ahead and get a little bit dirty. It's all right. Minister to those needs. Help the people that He sends your way. Because church, it's time. I mean, no more excuses. Time's up. It's time to be the body of Christ. The world has been waiting for us. It's time to be the body of Christ. It's time to put on big boy pants. Or big girl skirt or whatever, and get busy. Quit talking about missions and do missions. Because God's plan has always been to use us to accomplish His work. We just have to be willing. We just have to be willing. We just have to be available for him to use. It's divine whatever appointment that brought us here today. God knew this would be the day that the calendar would work out, that we would be talking about this, and that we'd be coming to the Lord's table. It's very appropriate because the Lord's table is a time to reflect. It's a time to allow God to speak to us. It's a time for self-examination that's led by the Spirit. So I challenge you, as we go to the table this morning, take that time to look in. See what God is showing you that needs to be changed. Let him transform you into something that more closely resembles him. And then maybe we'll see fit to better do his work. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the blessings of today, the lessons of today. And Father, we pray now that as we receive the Lord's Supper, that we would be reminded of our Savior and the sacrifice that he made for us. Father, then it should be natural to understand that you expect us to extend that same sort of grace and mercy to everyone else that we come in contact with. And Lord, we admit sometimes it's hard, but we ask that you will allow us to begin to see others with your eyes instead of human selfish eyes. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let me say a word about communion. As a church, we practice open communion, which means it doesn't matter if you're a member of College Park or not. If you're a believer and you would like to participate in communion, we invite you to be a part as we join together. we know from Scripture and what happened in that upper room as Jesus met with his disciples, we know that they probably didn't get it. At that point, they didn't really fully understand what was about to happen to their lives. But we know through history and we know through Scripture that they did eventually get it. And as they lived out their faith, touched people that were hurting, healed people who were sick, as they lived out their faith, they helped change the course of human history. My prayer is that we would be obedient in the same way. Jesus, before he offered the cup, he told him that it was a new covenant. It was a new deal. It was a new blessing. It was a new arrangement. It was a new opportunity. And each of us are given that new opportunity every day, not only to live as Christ would want us to do, but to be a shining example of who he is to those we meet. I pray that we'd be faithful to the call and that we would truly see others with his eyes. In your order of service, there's a responsive reading. I invite you to read with me. I'll read the light print, and if you'll read the darker print. Father, as we go into our homes and our work this coming week, by the power of the Holy Spirit, open our ears
to hear what you are saying to us in the things that happen to us and in the people we meet.
Open our eyes
to see the needs of the people around us.
Open our hands
to do our work well and help them help us need.
Open our lips
to tell others the good news of Jesus. Bring comfort, happiness, and laughter to other people.
Open our minds
to discover new truth about you and the world.
And open our hearts
to love you and our neighbors
as you have loved us in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let us pray together. Gracious Lord, gracious Father, we pray that as we have an opportunity to respond to what you have given us, to the chance to be your hands and feet, we pray that we'd be faithful to that. Father, we love you, although our actions sometimes don't show it. We pray that through your Spirit this week, we'll do a better job. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a hymn. I know we did it out of order, but I just felt like it worked better this way. That's my prerogative. We're going to stand and sing a hymn, and as we sing together, I want to invite you, if you would like to make a decision, you can certainly do that where you're sitting, but you can also come here. I'll be glad to speak with you. The altar is open if you'd like to come here and pray, and the invitation is multi. I mean, if you don't know Jesus, then today is the day. He knew you were going to be here today and hear this message, and I want to give you an opportunity to receive him. I'll be glad to share that with you, or you can call me this week, and I'll be glad to meet you and talk with you about that. If you're here this morning and you say, Raymond, I'm a believer, but I'm just not doing a very good job of letting other people know that I am, and I'm not doing as good a job as I need to be of living out my faith. Today is a good day. Start from this point forward, trying to do a better job with God's help in that regard. If you're here and you say, I like this congregation, I want to be connected more with this community, I want to be a member of College Park, there are many ways we receive members. I'd be glad to share that with you. But whatever your response is, I invite you to make this. We stand and sing together now.
thank you for being here in worship today. I hope it's been a meaningful experience for you. Young ladies on the front, thank you for your part in helping to teach us today. Would you pray with me? Dear Father, thank you for the opportunity to learn that you've given us hearts and minds when open to you will convict us, change us, lead us. Father, we pray for the guidance of your Holy Spirit, for the comfort and peace that comes knowing that we're walking with you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's R-A-M-O-N @collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.